Good morning, everybody. Woo! Come on, worship team. I don't even want to preach this morning. I just want them to keep on singing. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Come on, let's just give God a shout of praise this morning. It's awesome to be home and to be with you and to be in the presence of God. And I want to say something to you this morning, not because of Marvin or Angela, but because of God and because of you in this house. I don't think that you realize how blessed and wonderfully blessed we are when you step into the presence of God like this. I mean, it's just awesome in this place this morning. And I'm so excited that we inhabit the praise of God, because he inhabits us and we're bound together with him. The more we want, the more he comes. Does anybody want more this morning? Yeah. Come on, is there any hungry folk in this house today? Can you shout more? Come on, God, bring it on. We want more of you, Lord. We want more of you. I'm so excited about what I feel in this place today. And that worship team, let's give the worship team a hand. Come on, come on. Sound team that makes a worship team sound good. So exciting. How many is excited about Easter next Sunday? How did Easter get here so fast? I know I'm getting old because the years are flying by. And gone here today and gone tomorrow. Amen, John? Amen. And so we're excited about that. How many is handed out any of these little cards to invite someone to Easter? If you haven't done that yet, there's a bunch of them, like 500 out there. And so grab some on your way out today. Invite three or four people. When you're at a restaurant, just lay it on the table. Leave a little note on there. We'd love to have you for Easter. If you don't like to use your mouth to invite people, if you're a little timid, then just lay the card on the table. We'd like to invite you. We was in a restaurant the other day eating, and a young lady that waited on our table, she said, so she asked us where we were from, and we told her. She goes, "Oh yeah, there was these two people in here. They were from California." We knew exactly what they were talking about, Matt and Allison, and they just ministered to me. I was crying, and hey, take a moment for somebody's life. And here's the deal: we want people to come to the Harbor. We do. We desire them to come, but more importantly, we want to introduce them to Jesus. Yes. Amen. Because if they can meet Jesus, it can change their whole life. Are you thankful this morning that you met Jesus? Yes. Are you thankful that you were at the well one day and Jesus come by and he didn't pass you by, but he said, "I have water to drink from that you'll never thirst again." Come on, is anybody thankful this morning? Yes. Anybody thankful that he loves you with this crazy kind of love? Yes. And we want to share that. Let's don't be stingy with that. Let's give that away to everyone we meet. And listen, we're not trying to build this church. We will build this church because we're built on the foundation of Jesus. This church will always be a growing and sending church. But more importantly, let's build the kingdom of God. Amen. 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 Excited about that. So make sure that you take a little time. And then I was thinking this morning, I'm excited. Can y'all tell I'm excited? I'm excited this morning because I was thinking this morning as Tori was giving the announcements and talking about us giving to this this opportunity to give to this fund for a scholarship. And I thought about last week and the week before, we took up an offering for Spain and we took up an offering for this. And we're just giving our hearts. We're living a very generous life. You know what happens when you live a generous life? You receive. Come on. And now, listen, you may not have any money to give this morning. You may not have the funds to give, but remember this: your prayer and your penny is as important as millions of others people's money in prayer. Your prayer, your generous life, your generous giving, your generous heart changes the world around you. So let's stay in a place of generosity. Let me show you a little bit of what happened with your generosity while I was in Mexico this week. We built a house. It was, everybody say 400 square feet. So let me help you know what 400 square feet is. You see this section of chairs over here? This section of chairs from this wall, from the back side of that section of chairs, is about 550 square feet. So we built a house that was 400 square feet, okay, for a family of eight. I came home to my house and I was like, I live in a palace. I tell you what, I found out how wimpy I am after hanging sheetrock for a day. Oh, Lord, I found muscles that I didn't even know I had. Help me, somebody. Praise God. Hey, listen, I'm not going to be very long this morning, but we're going to kind of wrap up this message on the dream. And actually, I think that I could have preached on this for like 2 months. Because I feel like there's so many people in this house right now, they are on the verge of birthing something that's supernatural, that God's put inside of you long before the foundations of the world, but it's being birthed in you right now. It's just stirring up inside of your life and in your heart. And I'm so thankful for what God is doing in you. I want you to tell your neighbor right now, I want you to tell him, say, God's doing something great in you. God's doing something great in you. You know, we have to build a place for our dreams. It's like the foundation of everything, like this home right here. Before we got there, they poured the foundation, and they had that foundation ready for us to build on. You, for that young man that you saw that had the heavy coat on, the Hispanic gentleman, the Mexican gentleman that had the heavy coat on, that was his house. And he lived in that, him and his family lived in that little house that you saw that probably looked like less than a dog house that we would have in America. It was just a little shanty and built out of pallets. He'd stack pallets up and nail those pallets together and then draped a tarp over it. But he was living inside of a dream. He was living inside of a hope of something, God doing something better for him. And so one of the most amazing things that happened this week was to watch this man work right alongside us the entire time, building his house and working for the dream that God had put inside of him. And many times he would stop with tears in his eyes. Now, they're not real emotional people. They don't do like, "Wah, you got a house." They're just not that kind of people. They're first of all, because life is real to them. Everything is real to them. And so they're not emotional type of people, but thankful, deep gratitude. And he would walk by me and he would say, "Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor." And then he would stop and he'd say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." And it was always beautiful to watch him give glory to God, because what God had put in his heart was now becoming a reality. So we have to build a place for our dreams to come true. There has to be a place in our life that we say, "Hey, I'm building a place for God to do something amazing." And if you have a dream and you're wanting that dream to come to pass, there are a few things that are required of you so that that dream will not be simply a fleeting thought, but it will become a reality in your life. In Philippians 1, and I'm not going to read that passage of scripture. I'm just referring to it today, and I've said this several times in this series. Philippians 1 and 6 says, "Remember, God will finish what he started in you." I want you to say that with me this morning. God will finish what he started in you. The work that he begun in you, the work that he started in you, the dream he put inside of you was not just a simple thought, but God wants to finish. He wants to see a finished work inside of your life. He wants to see you come to that place that you say, "Look, this once was a dream and now it's a reality. It's not just a dream anymore, but it's a reality in my life." There are times that you try to forget and you try so that you can avoid the disappointment that comes when you don't see the dream standing in front of you. And so you try to erase the dream out of your mind. You try to forget about the dream because it gets frustrating at times when you're trying, when that dream is burning inside of you, but you're not seeing it come to reality. And that is the moment you don't need to become frustrated, but you need to say, "I'm building a place for this dream to come to pass because God has a dream inside of me." And then there are times that we want to make it happen and we want to push on doors and we want to open things and do things and go ahead of God. And we also have to learn that there are times that we have to wait in that moment for the dream. So it's both and. As we look at the promise of God, we don't try to erase it because we don't want disappointment. But at the same time, don't try to get ahead of God and open the door before God opens the door. This is a very powerful scripture that I'm supposed to read in Revelation 3 and 7. It says, "Write the following to the messenger of the congregation in Philippi. For these are the solemn words of the Holy One, the true One, who has David's key, who opens the door that none can shut, and who closes the door that none can open." David lived in grace before the gospel of grace was ever revealed. And the key of David unlocks the door of is the key that unlocks the door. And it's the key of prayer and of intimacy that allowed him to see into the future and to know what God was speaking and to hold on to that promise. He had the key in his hand. He had the key in his hand, even though he did not see everything in front of him. There was a key in his hand that says, I'm going to pray and I'm going to press through and I'm going to stay in this place with God because God's given me dreams and those dreams are going to come to pass. The dream is the seed, and we've said this several times, but I want to remind you again that the seed is in the ground and we have to trust the process. I want you to say that with me this morning. I have to trust the process. I'm trusting the processes of God. I'm trusting that he's building in my life the supernatural things that he's trying to build. I'm trusting that God has planted something deep inside of me and it's going to come to fruition. And so I trust the process. Everybody say world changers. Come on, how many wants to be a world changer in this place today? Oh, wow. Only five of y'all. Amazing. Maybe that's what's wrong with your dream this morning. Come on, let's try that again. How many wants to be a world changer this morning? Come on. I hope that's in everybody's heart to be a world changer. I thought I'd get a greater response. And I'm sorry I had to cheerlead you into world changing. And when God wants to do something great in the world, he finds a man and a woman, or a man or a woman, that will be world changers. They have a world changer's heart already burning inside of them. Listen, God doesn't go find somebody that says, I don't care. I don't care what happens. I'm just going to sit on my front porch and endure till Jesus comes. God's not going to do anything with that. I'm just going to tell you. God said that man that put his hand to the plow and doesn't turn back. He's about the Father's business. And God finds someone that's about the Father's business and has a heart to change the world. And he puts this dream inside of you. He puts this passion inside of you. He puts this hope inside of you. And that dream inside of you begins to burn within you. It's a passion, and a fire that you can't put out because it's a God dream. Now listen to this. David had brothers, and so did Joseph. They both had brothers, but evidently those brothers were not willing to go after the dream. They were okay with status quo or being something of this earthly kind. But there was inside of both David and Joseph a passion for the things of God, a passion for the things of the Spirit. My wife and I was talking this week about Joseph's life, and she said something that I thought was just so powerful, is that if you look at Joseph's life, Joseph really didn't go try to make things happen. Joseph just was in the process of the seed in the ground. But this is what Joseph did. Joseph stayed faithful to the dream. Joseph stayed faithful to the call of God. Joseph stayed with integrity and purpose. And God fulfilled the dream in his life, even though those were the ups and the downs and the valleys. And so many times I see people get a word from God, and it's a powerful word from God, and it is a word from God, let me say that. But because the word of God doesn't come to fruition in the first 5 months, then they give up on it. And then they go out and they seek the world for a little while. And they run over here for a little while. And they do this for a little while. And they come back to the place where they started from. Because you know what? When God has a process for your life, you're not going to skip the process. You're going to end back up where you started from. So enjoy the moment. Enjoy the process. And stay faithful to God. And stay faithful to the purpose of God. And keep that integrity in your heart. And keep your vision and your purpose and your heart stayed upon him. And I'm telling you, in God's time, the dream will come to fruition. This is not my notes this morning, but I feel it's burning inside of me. And when Joseph got the moment that his dream came to pass, he stewarded his dream well because he had integrity. And when his brothers stood before him, he was willing to be generous with them. He was willing to forgive them because he had stayed faithful to God. Come on, let's give God praise in this house this morning. Both David and Joseph prepared. They stayed faithful, and they prepared a place for the promise to come. The good news is that there will be a day when the world will need a great leader. And it could be you. It very well could be you, just like it was for David. David was already prepared to be king when he was playing the harp in the field. Let me just tell you something. I'm going to bring a little revelation to you this morning. Y'all get ready. I'm just going to wow you. This is going to be deep. Are y'all ready? Hold on to your seat. David was king when he was a shepherd. That's not deeper than what you just went amen about. David was king when he was a shepherd. He was already in position for the promise. And what God has for you is already in you. What God has purposed in your life is already in you. And all you have to do is stay faithful to God through the process. Come on. So good. 1 Samuel 1, we find the story of a dreamer. Her name was Hannah. She put a dream in her heart, and God put a dream in her heart, and she had this dream inside of her. Now, she was a barren woman, but she had a dream to have a son. It was more than a desire just to have a child. It was to carry out the plan of God. Why Hannah? Why did God choose Hannah? Because Hannah, before she got to this place, Hannah was already a world changer. She had the heart of a world changer. She knew that God had put her on this earth for purpose. And so she was, in her heart, she was ready. She was ready to receive what God had for her. And her heart was greater than herself. She was willing to carry out the dream of God, even if it meant sleepless nights and years of perpetual prayer and fasting before God and crying out for a son that she would give back to God at a very early age. The dream she had did not come easy. It took years. Hannah not only dedicated her son to God, she actually brought him to the temple, and he became a servant to the priest. Can I help you this morning? When God gives you a dream, you got to see the bigger picture. You got to be willing to give the dream away so it can be produced. Come on. You got to be willing to give up your dream so that it becomes God's dream. Sometimes in life, we got to be willing to say, here it is, God. This is the thing that I always wanted, but I'll give it to you, God, so that I can see the bigger things happen. And the very son she had prayed for, she had to let go of so that the dream and the plan of God would become a reality. When Samuel was ready, it was at the right time. He was in the right place, all because Hannah was willing to dream with God. Let me say that again, because it's very important that you understand that. When Samuel was ready, he was in the right place at the right time because Mama was willing to dream with God. So powerful. She was barren and not a likely candidate to be the one who would see a dream like this come to pass, but she cried out to God in prayer and fasting. You see, she had a key like David did that would unlock doors, that would open places that no one else could open because she had a dedication to God and she was a prayer warrior. She had this intimate place with God. And even though she was barren, she was crying out for the son because it was the plan of God. And because she had this passion inside of her, God came to her and he blessed her so that she could be a blessing. Let me tell you something today. Everything that God wants to bless you with is so that you can be a blessing. Hallelujah. Every dream that God has for you, I said this in the first sermon of this series. If God has a dream in your heart, it's going to be a blessing to others. If your dream only builds your kingdom, it's not a God dream. Because God don't have a God dream that only builds your kingdom. But in the midst of you building his kingdom, he will expand your territories. God uses what belongs to him. And Hannah was surrendered to God and to the will of God. So God partnered with Hannah to change the world. Hannah not only had a dream, she gave birth to a dream. And Samuel heard the voice of God, and through him, nations were changed. I believe that there is a God dream waiting to be unlocked in all of us. And maybe you know what that dream is. And maybe it's lying dormant or hidden in secret places of your heart. Or it could be that you have given up on your dream. I've come to encourage you this morning. Stir up that dream that's inside of you. Stir up that hope that's inside of you. Stir up that promise that's inside of you. Heather, you can come. Hebrews 11, the power of bold faith. Everybody say bold faith. Faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we're longing for. And it is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. This testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see the universe was created in a beautiful coordination by the power of God's word. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. God spoke, and the invisible became visible. God spoke, and the invisible became visible. Let me tell you something this morning, Luke. God put a dream inside of you. And when you begin to partner with God, as you already have, as you partner with God, God will begin to speak things. And you may not see them right now. They may be bleak to you right now, but I'm telling you that if you would just stay faithful to God and you just hold on to that dream and live in that promise of that dream, God's going to birth something in you, and one day you're going to say, the thing that I could not see now stands before me. The thing that I didn't know how could ever come to pass, here it is. God's blessing is upon my life, and the dream has come true. So I say to you today, worship team can come. Wake up your dream. Reconnect and partner with God. Let your heart know it's okay to dream. Come on, say to your heart this morning, those that your dream is dormant, those that your dream, the candle has gone out, say to your heart, I want you to put your hand on your heart this morning and say, okay, heart. Come on, say it. Okay, heart. It's all right to dream. You can dream a little bit. Come on, prophesy over your heart this morning. Pray over your heart this morning. Let your heart dream again. I want to say to all of our seasoned saints of the Lord, those that are older than some of the others, and maybe you thought, well, my dream has died out with my age. I want to tell you something. Your dream never dies. Your dream never dies. I want to say to all of you this morning, say to your heart, dream again. Dream again, heart. Let the dream come alive. Let the passion come alive. I've planted some seed a long time ago. I've dropped some ground a long time ago in the ground. And I hadn't seen it come to pass yet, but I'm not giving up on my dream, God. I'm saying to my heart right now, dream. Have passion. Let it burn inside of me. I'm saying for the world around me that's lost without God, I'm going to dream. I'm going to have visions. I'm going to believe God again. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get in the altar. I'm going to pour some water on it, God. I'm going to let the dream live. I'm going to let the dream live. I said to you young people this morning, there's nothing that's greater than having a God dream. Listen, you can build big houses and get degrees and drive fine cars, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if those things ever become the very thing that stops the God dream, if they ever become the idol that stops the God dream, all that you acquire in life will be empty. It'll be void. But when you dream, God dreams. Come on, I'm going to talk to you single ladies for just a minute. All the single ladies in the house, listen to me. Don't let go of the dream that God put in your heart. There's a right husband. Don't settle for something less than the dream that God put in your heart and have to live your life saying, God, this is not what I bargained for. This is not what I was up for, God. I got ahead of God. I opened the door too early. Come on, men of God, young single men of God. Stay in that place in the altar and say, God, I want nothing but your best. I want nothing but what you have for me. I'm going to keep pouring water, God. I'm going to keep pouring water on this seed, God. I'm not getting ahead of you, God. You're the most important thing in my life. I'm going to dream, God. And maybe God wants you to be an entrepreneur, and he may want you to make millions of dollars. And I believe that God's called people to do just that, to make millions of dollars, but those millions of dollars are for his glory. And anytime you become stingy with those millions and you build castles in the sky, you're missing out on the dream that God's given you. But listen to me. You may not have a dime to your name. You may not ever be rich. But let me tell you something. If God's put it in your heart to dream, to be a prayer warrior, to visit the lonely, to take care of the broken, to mend up the brokenhearted, that's as important as anything else. And you pour that out of you because it's a God dream. It's what God's called you to do. It's your purpose. And you may have to take your dream one day, Hannah, and you may have to take it and lay your dream on the altar and say, God, here's my dream. I give you my dream, God. But watch when you do that, because if God ever tells you to lay it on the altar, he's about to multiply it. He's about to take the one thing that you dreamed about, and it's going to become your legacy that God planted you here on this earth for. Come on, is anybody with me today? Drive fear out. Drive fear out. Don't look at what you have or what you don't have. Look at what God's put in your hand. Quit saying, if I had more, if I had a better job, if I had a bigger car, if I had more money, if I had nicer people around me, if I had this, if I had that. Listen, if you have Jesus, you got everything you need for your dream to come to pass. If you have a place at the altar of God, you got everything you need for your dream to come to pass. Just don't sell out your dream. Take what's in your hand and believe God for the supernatural. And last but not least, build an altar for your dream. Prayer is where your dream, your God dream, comes together. It's where your dream becomes a reality. You got to have an altar in your life. You got to have an altar in your life. You can't pray enough. You can't fast enough. But you can pray always, and you can always be diligent before the Lord. God, I give you my heart. I wake up this morning, God, I've surrendered to you. Let the dream come alive in me today. Let the dream come alive in me. I feel like in this place this morning that there are three people, today, God wants you to give your life to Christ 100%. There's some here that's never given their life to Christ, but there's some that's straddling the fence. You've had one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and you've been trying to hang on to both. And God's saying this morning, if you want to see the dream come alive in your life, you've got to quit straddling the fence. You've got to give it all up. You've got to say, here I am, God, 100%. I'm all in. There's three people in this house. That need to stand up today and say, God, I'm not going to let my dream die. I'm talking about salvation this morning first. He went to the cross. He died for you. And some of the stuff that you've been doing is work, trying to get back to God. Listen, quit trying to work. Tori's already handled this morning. But you don't have to work to get back to God. He did all the work for you. You just got to just come to him and just fall in his lap and say, God, I'm surrendered. But I'm not going to continue to go my own way. I'm going to go the way that you've called me to go, Lord. I'm going to go everything you created me for, I'm going to walk in that. And you're here today. And today can be the best day of your life. The best day of your life. The most amazing day of your life. So there's three people here today that need to give their life fully to Christ today. I don't know why the number three, but that's what I have, the number three. And there's also people here today that your dream has died. You've had this great dream, this great passion for the things of God. But life and situations and disappointments have snuffed out that dream. I'm saying to you, let the dream live. Say to your heart today, my heart, hey heart, beat again, dream again, come alive. You're about to do something supernatural in my life. Can you stand with me this morning? I want our prayer team to come. Listen. Trust me when I tell you this. They're here to pray with you. But whatever God needs to do in your life can be done right where you're sitting. Right where you're standing this morning. Everything that God needs to do in your life can happen right where you are. No doubt. Come on right here, honey. Right where you are. God wants to birth this dream in you. He wants to live the dream that's already birthed in you. He wants to see it come to fruition. With your eyes closed, your heads bowed all over this building, please, let's reverence the presence of the Lord right now. Nobody moving around. If you're here today and you've never really surrendered to the Lord, it's as simple as saying, God, I repent of my sins. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. I ask you, Lord, to make my heart your home. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. Wash me, O God, with the blood of Jesus. Cleanse my life, O God. And we don't even have to beg to do that. We don't have to beg to do that. God wants to do that. Listen, that feeling of God, does he even love me? I'm a mess. Does God even love me? I'm a wreck. Listen, God loves you in your mess. He came to the cross to clean up your mess, the blood of Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's a finished work. And it's really your surrender to God. It's really your surrender to God. So those three people in this room this morning that God wants to do an amazing thing in your life, I want to encourage you right now to lift your hands and surrender to God and say, God, here I am. I give you my heart 100%. 100%. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Here's my heart, God. Today, after this day, God, there's no turning back. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve you, Lord. There's a dream birthed inside of me. There's a well of water that's flowing out of me. And now I invite you in by your Spirit, God, to come and fill me. Come on, let's go to the next step right now. With your hand raised to the Lord, all over this building. Won't you join with them as they raise their hands? And let's pray with them. And with our hands raised to you, God. You fill me with your Spirit, Lord. You fill me with your goodness, God. You anoint me, God, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, God. Your goodness, your mercy, your grace, oh God. That's so beautiful. So wonderful. Now to all those that want to bring your dream alive this morning, to those that are praying and giving their life to Christ this morning, those that are all over this room that want the dream come alive in you, throw your hands in the air and say, come on, dream, live. Come on, dream, live. Live inside of me. Let your glory come, oh God. Let your presence come, oh God. Live inside of me, oh dream. You're so good, God. You're so good. These altars are open for anyone who wants to come. Just make your way down here, or you can just right there in your seat. But whatever you want to do. Come on, people are praying. Let's turn this house into a prayer room this morning. I feel like God just wants to turn this place into a place of worship. Dreams are being birthed.